speak about today. I forgot to bring packets. I got packets. Sure, sorry. Maybe I'll bring them tomorrow so they have three Koros, and you can look inside. There is a notion, of course, we all know, that we shake Darbu Minim on Sukkos. And the first day is Diraisa, all the other days is Durabana. And this year is very unique because it's after Shemitah year, because we're past Rosh Hashanah, but all the Esrogim that we purchased from Eretz Yisrael are, in fact, Esrog Shemitah. And there is a notion that maybe we should avoid the whole problem of buying Esrogim from Eretz Yisrael, because we know that there's a concept called Perishvis. At Perishvis, there is Kedusha to Perishvis. I forgot my briefcase too. I'm very tired, so I don't have the marker. But Perishvis, let's try to get everything. Perishvis, there is Kedusha to Perishvis. And in fact, the Ramban writes that there's a mitzvah to eat Perishvis. There's a mitzvah to actually eat Perishvis. You get a mitzvah. The Rambam writes it's mutter, but the Ramban writes not only is it mutter, it's a mitzvah to eat Perishvis. So there might even be a mitzvah to eat it. The Chazon Ish claims that the Ramban didn't hold that there was a mitzvah, but the simplest reading of the Ramban is that there is a mitzvah to eat Perishvis. So Perishvis is a mitzvah to eat. You get a mitzvah according to the Ramban. Rambam says, no, and as I said, the Chazon Ish claims even the Ramban holds not a mitzvah, but everyone holds obviously mutter. Might even be a mitzvah. But the Gemara has, I want to track down if the Gemara has this phrase, mamish, but There's certainly a din that says la'achalav lola hefsid. Okay, you're not allowed to destroy perishvis. You're not allowed to destroy perishvis. Isser. Okay, and you're not allowed to burn it. You're not allowed to use it la'achalav lola schora. You're not allowed to do business with it, which we're going to get to Bez Hashem in Shir. So there's this one specific thing they bless you Eitan. They're able to use the perishvis, and that is only eating it. And the uniqueness of eating it is that the Gemara writes, it's hanaso ubi'uro shava, that its benefit and its consumption are equal. Meaning at the same time that you're deriving benefit, you're consuming it. That's one of the prerequisites of something to have kedusha shvis. So if you have an orange, you have a pear, when you eat it, you are consuming it, right, at the same time. Hanaso ubi'uro shava. That's what the Gemara writes in Sukkah. And that's one of the prerequisites to have Kedusha Shvis. Hanaso ubi'uro shava. For example, Eitzim, wood, do not have Kedusha Shvis. Why? Because the time when they get consumed, when you burn wood, you get the hana afterwards. It doesn't happen at the same time. You get warmth from it maybe a few minutes later. So therefore, since Hanaso Ubiro is not Shava by Eitzin, there is no Kedusha on Eitzin. Okay? That's one of the prerequisites for something to be what? To have Kedusha Shvis. Okay. So we have this halacha of Perish Shvis. And as we said, that it's a mitzvah to what? It's a mitzvah to eat it according to the Ramban. Ramam says it's only mutter. Chazon Ish says even according to the Ramban it's not. And therefore you have Kedusha. The question is, if you purchase Esrogim, obviously, you only have Kedusha Shvis on Paris of Eretz Yisrael. If you buy Esrog from Morocco, you buy Esrog from Egypt, then there's no Shaila. But what we're going to say today, that Hashem Lehem Arz will say, I don't think it's right for people to say, don't buy Esrogim from Eretz Yisrael. I don't think it's right because they're not supporting Esrog, but number two, Al Pi Halacha, Rov Poskim say that it is permissible to shake an esrog from Eretz Yisrael, and we'll see why that's okay, all right? And obviously it's a very big mandate to support Eretz Yisrael, so for anyone to say that, it's certainly not right. I'm not saying you should criticize anyone that did that, but for them to criticize you and say, oh, you're buying an esrog from Eretz Yisrael, well, Bez Hashem, after the shir today, it will become knowledgeable of it, and we'll quickly be able to respond, it's not so poshut at all. Not only is it not so poshut, you shouldn't criticize me, and Rov Poskim say it's okay. All right? So that's, we should be knowledgeable of this, what it's all about. So let's begin with the Gemara in Sukkah that I gave you. The Gemara in Sukkah, Anaf Lamed Hei, Amud Beis, comments as follows, okay? The Gemara says, the Gemara's working off a Mishnah, okay? The Gemara's working off a Mishnah. The Mishnah on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis says that an Esrog of Truma Tahora, if you have an Esrog of Truma, you know, Trumas and Maisers applies to all different fruits and vegetables. Question is whether it's D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan. Rashi writes, Dagon Tirus V'Yitzar. You only have Trumas and Maisers from D'Oraisa. What's Dagon Tirus V'Yitzar? Wheat, shemen, and wine. Okay? That's a Rashi sheet, is that that's the only time you have Trumas and Maisers from D'Oraisa. Everything else, Paris, England, pears, oranges, or D'Rabbanan. The Rambam argues, claims Paris, England, or D'Oraisa. Whatever the case is on the scope of what Trumas and Maisers can be in D'Oraisa, Esrog would depend on that, because Esrog is what? Peiros HaElon, right? No matter what, whether it's Truma that's D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan, if you have an Esrog of Truma, right, you piled up a bunch of Esrogim together in a barrel, you harvested it, you have to be mafer, some of them are Truma, the rest becomes cooler. Let's say you took one from the group of Truma and you want to use that for your Arvanim. The Mishnah says in Sukkah explicitly, on Lamedalim Mebeis, that an Esrog of Truma Tahora is Lo Yitol. You're not allowed to use that for your Arba Minim. An Esrog of Truma Tahora. Why not? So the Gemara on Laman Hay in the Bays presents two reasons. One reason is, so Machlez Ravami Ravasi, one is because you're Machsherit. What does Machsherit mean? The Gemara says they used to always keep the Lulav in a bucket to make it wet, to make sure that it would be moist, that it wouldn't dry out. So when you pick the lulav up out of the bucket and put it together with the esrog, water would fall on the what? On the esrog, and it would do what to it? Would be machsherit. In order for something to become machsher, in order for something to become tameh, it has to be readied. And the Mishnah writes in Maseches Machshir in Perek Vav Mishnah Dal that there are shiva mashkim, which we call Zion mashkim. It's called Yad Shachat Dam. Yad is Yud for Yayin. Dalit is for dam, blood. Shin is shemen, olive oil. Ches is chalav, milk. Tes is tal, dew. And then dam is dvash. Dvash from who? From a bee. From a bee. From a bee. And mem is mayim. If you have any one of those seven liquids that fall on a fruit or vegetable that's been detached from the ground, and the owner of that fruit or vegetable is interested in the liquid falling out of the chiyutan, that's what the Gemara learns in Kedushin, then it's ready to be makabel tuma. So if you throw a dead rat, we're not recommending you ever touch a dead rat, but if a guy threw a dead rat on a wet orange, the orange would become tummy. Or a wet barley, asa barley. It would become tummy because it had been... Now, it doesn't have to be wet at the time the dead rat falls on it. It just had to have been wet one time in its life after it was detached. Okay? So, it's interesting because you shouldn't confuse the honey there. Honey in Shiva Mashkin is from a bee, whereas honey in the Shiva Saminim Eretzrol is from a what? From a date. Okay? The gabi, you know, alamichi. And the honey is, you know, the gabi those did. Okay. Oh. So let's go weiter now. Okay? So what's the din? So the first reason giving in the Gemara that an esrog of shemen tahora you should not shake is because we're afraid the esrog is going to get wet. And what's going to happen is that the truma now is readied to be mekabel tuma. And it is an iser to be metame truma. It's an absolute flat-out iser to be metame truma. Okay? It says mishmeres trumasai. It's an iser to be metame truma. Okay? Without a doubt. So that's the first reason why lechachila, you are absolutely not allowed to go ahead and shake an eser of truma tahara, lechachila. B'dievet, if you did it, the Mishnah says it's kosher. But lichachila, you are not allowed to what? You are not allowed to shake an esrog of truma tahora. Okay, that's number one. Because you're going to be machshir. Number two, the Gemara gives a second reason. Then Rashi is masbir. Because we are afraid that you're going to take the esrog and you're going to, through the usage of it and handling it, you're going to make it repulsive. And it's going to discolor it. And you're going to be mafsid. And you're also usher to be mafsid truma. It's an isser to destroy truma. So by handling the esrog, and we know throughout the week sometimes it gets discolored, that's going to be an isser. Rashi explains, Dimra Masko, Lamanemes, Shemafsida. Shemafsida, Kliposa, Hakitzona, Nimesis. The outer shell becomes repulsive. Bimishmush, Yahayadayim.
with the usage of your hands. V'asr l'hafsi truma k'dipreshus. So the second reasoning found in the Gemara is you're going to what? You're going to destroy the what? The truma, because you're diminishing it. So therefore, l'chachilo, it is usr to take an esrog of truma t'ara, lo yitol. But if you did it, b'dievet, it's kosher. The nafkamina between those two approaches would be what? What does the Gemara say? If you what? Very interesting. Let's say you went ahead and you did what? Shekarash, you were korei shein, meaning you declared the esrog to be truma, everything except the what? The peel, the shell. So according to the first reasoning, it's still a problem because you were makshir at the kabel tumah. According to the second reasoning, not a problem because this outer part is not true. You only declare the inner part to be called true. So that's the Gemara's very clear nafka meaning. Okay. So let's work with the second approach. Okay. What's the second approach that you're causing discoloring? Why is it that we never find, and let's get this, an esrog of shvis? We don't find in the Gemara you're not allowed to take an esrog of shvis. Why not? You're going to be handling it. Isn't handling it going to be destroyed? Isn't handling it going to destroy it? And the Gemara never says it's a problem. Why not? Moreover, I can prove to you that an esrog of shmita should be permissibly used for the arvamina. What does the Mishnah say in Daf Lamites, Amud Aleph and Sukkah? It says, and this is very important, when I buy a lulav from my friend, right? We're not allowed to engage in business with Peyrus Shvis. So if I want to buy a lulav from my friend, I buy the lulav from my friend, but I must plead with him to give me the esrog for Matana as a gift. Because Poshup Shad in this, and that's what we'll have to discuss Bezushim later, a lulav, whether it has Kedusha Shvis, is a separate topic which we'll discuss Bezushim today. But an esrog, everyone agrees it has Kedusha Shvis. It's a fruit, right? So I cannot buy fruit of Shvis. The Isser is what? The Isser is, there's an Isser of Peir Shvis, to do Schorah, to do business. Now it's a big machloikis, I just want you to get it. It's a big machloikis in Achronim, is the Isser of Schorah, is the Isser of business on the seller, or even on the what? The buyer. Okay? Just want you to get the sheet on that. Is it on the Isser, or is it on the what? Is it Isser on the mocher? Excuse me. Or is it even on the seller? Okay, that's a very, very interesting shiloh. It's a machlokes in the note of Yehuda and the machnet. Okay, I want to give you the maramakom on it. Let's just get it. Okay? It's very, very fascinating. Okay, is the Isser of schoyer on the seller alone, or is it on the buyer as well? Okay? Let's just get the sheet. The most Rishonim say the Isser of Schorah is the Rabbanim, except for the Ramban. The Ramban says that the Isser of Schorah is the Raisa, and the Aruch, and the Aruch holds that the Isser of Schorah is the Rabbanim. Okay? So that's a big machlokes, the Isser of Schorah and Peir Shvis, the Raisa, the Rabbanim. But let's just mention this now. Who is the Isser on? The Isser is, we said, according to most Achronim, is on the Mocher. Okay? This from most Achronim is on the note of Yehuda in the Madura Kama Ibn Ezra Simenai in Zion says the Isser is on the Mocher alone. And the Kappas Tamarim says the same thing. And the note of Yehuda argues B'Shem Gonechet says Isser Schor is both on the Mocher and on the Lokeach. Okay? And the Makne and Kedushin Daphnun Bey says it's on both. Okay? So here I have a situation that I'm buying the Peir Shvis. I'm buying the esrog from my friend who's not an observant guy, and I got a problem. So I should buy only the lulav and ask him to give me a gift as the esrog. Because if I give him money, what's the halacha if I give him money to buy a fruit of shvis? The money also becomes kadosh, kedusha shvis. And we're afraid, Rashi says, that this man who's not observant is going to leave the money in his pocket. And we're going to get to, there's a concept called biur. What is biur? Biur shvis is that there's a time, I want you to get this, there's fruit out in the fields. I'm allowed to eat peir shvis. In fact, Ravon would start off saying, might even say it's a mitzvah, right? When am I prohibited to stop eating the peir shvis throughout the year? The Torah HaKadosh says, when there's no longer any fruit in the fields. The animals can't find anything. There's no more pears outside. There's no more oranges. In fact, this is a chart of all the different fruits and vegetables. Like Rosh Chodesh Av was this amount of beer avocados. If I had living in Arizona and I was eating avocados, I'd have to get rid of the avocados in my house. What does beer mean? The Rambam writes beer means burden. The Rosh writes beer means what? What does beer mean? Beer means to take the fruit outside, put it on the street, and machker it. I can take it back in afterwards, but I have to declare it onwards. It's a machloikis, the Rambam and the Rosh, what beer is. Is beer sreifel like the Rambam? Or is beer being machker? I have to declare all my things as being machker and take it outside. Okay? It's a big machloikis. So what we're driving at is as follows. What we're driving at is as follows, that this din of I'm not allowed to buy the guy, use money for the esrog. Why not? Because the money becomes kodesh also, kodesh shvi'is, on the money. And if the Rashi says the Amaretz is going to keep the money in his pocket, he won't use that money till after this man beer. That's a problem. So I'm going to be overly fnei'ivir. You follow me? Tosa says it's a problem that I'm afraid the Amaretz is going to use the money and buy non-produce. You're not allowed to take money of shvi'is and buy non-produce. You only buy things that are edible. Okay? So Rashi and Tosis argue, what is the problem of why I can't give money to who? To the Amaretz. One reason you could have said is the Issachar. But that's only if you assume the Issachar is both on the Mocher and the Lokeach. If the Issachar is only on the Mocher, why is it a problem? Because I'm overly fnei'ivir. Either Rashi, like Rashi says that the Amaretz is going to keep the money in his pocket, which is Kodosh, after Zman Beer, which is also, should have spent it before, or like Tosis, that he's going to use it to buy non-edible things. Okay? So that's the way you could be Masber this day. But let me ask you a question. What do you see slam dunk from the construct of that Mishnah? Can you use an Esrog of Shvi'is? Without a doubt. The Mishnah doesn't say it's a problem. No. Mishnah just says, make sure he gives it to you as a matan. But the Mishnah had no problem him using it with a what? Mishnah had no problem with him using it from an Esrog of Shvi'is. Mitzad, you destroying it, discoloring it. Oh. So let's give five svaras now. Okay, five svaras. We're going to give a svara, shoot it down, give a svara, shoot it down, and then we'll end up with the fifth one. Okay, as to why it's not a problem taking esrog of shvi'is, and if you use it to handle it, why it's not a problem called hefzid shvi'is. Okay, the first svara is as follows, and that is that it could very well be, and this is what Rav Tukachinsky writes beferish the following, because when you're doing something litzorach mitzvah, then it's not considered to be a hefzid because you have no other choice. There were times, the only times you could get esrogim were in Eretz Yisrael. There were no esrogim you could get from anywhere else on the planet Earth. Nowhere else. So you have no other choice. So in the litzorach mitzvah, we don't consider this to be a hefzid. Whereas when it comes to Meisr Sheni and Truma, it says explicitly, that would not be a heter. Why would that not be a heter? Because don't take an esrog of truma. Don't take an esrog of Meisr Sheni. There's a bunch of other esrogim that are chulin. So what on earth are you doing that? So don't give me this svara that litzorach mitzvah, it's not considered to be a hefzid. But on shvi'is, it's impossible. All the other esrogim, all the esrogim are shvi'is. And if you assume they're from Eretz Yisrael and you couldn't get anywhere else, then it would be okay. What's difficult with that svara? Because Mizman HaZeh, we can get them from Morocco. We can get them from Egypt. So don't give me that svara that what? You have no other choice. Oh. So we just shot that one down. Oh. That was from Rav Tukachinsky. The Torah says B'shem Rav Tukachinsky. So number two svara. What's number two svara? Maybe you could say conceptually the following. Yeah, go ahead, Evan.
I understand that the explanation of Rashi explaining why...
Yeah, Rashi says if I give the man money to buy the esrog, the money becomes kadosh, as we said the Gemara says. Because Tosa says I'm just concerned with the Amaretz taking the money and buying non-edible food. Rashi says the concern is that he's just going to delay using the money till after this Zman Beer. You have to use the money before this Zman Beer. Bless you. Seth, you have to use the money before this Zman Beer and eat up the stuff before. Okay? Alright. So the first svar we shot down. Second svar is as follows. Maybe you could say conceptually, okay, that anything you engage in Letzarach Mitzvah is not called a Hefzer. Anything that you engage in, the first one was just, you have no choice. First one was no choice, and I'm doing a mitzvah, no choice. Second one is, no, anytime you're doing a mitzvah, whether you have a choice or not have a choice, you can't call that Hefzer if you're doing a Letzarach Mitzvah. That's a very, you know what the Chassam Sofer in the Chidushim in Sukkah, Amalav Vav Manal says, he says, what happens? You know, the sweat on your hands discolor it, you know how it gets brown sometimes? Shouldn't that be a problem by the end of the week? He says, no. He said, Odo Vahadro. That's not a chisaron in what? In Hadar? If it's because you were working on the Espi and using it, that's proof of the galactiqueness of the mitzvah. He said, Odo Vahadro. Many times in Chol HaMoed it becomes manumer through the usage of your hands. Nevertheless, it's kosher. Because the more you used it, it's beautiful, Amaisa. I'll give you a riot to this. The Beis Yitzchak writes in Yordei Achilik Beis Simen Kuf Lachal, the Beis Kacholom, Spectres, that's out, points out, you know, on Shvi'is you're not allowed to harvest, okay? Not allowed to cut things, Keder HaKotzer. You're not allowed to harvest on Shvi'is lands in Eretz Yisrael if it's going to show a demonstrative act that you are what? You have ownership over the land. You can do it with the Shinui, the Mishnayos say, but if you do it in a regular way where show your horah is violous, that you're the owner, it's awesome. Am I allowed to cut down a fruit that's of the size of a boser on trees? I'm not allowed to. Why not? Because if you cut it when it's a boser, you're going to destroy the fruit. And that's an issue. You're not allowed to lachalov lo lehefsid, we said. You're not allowed to harvest something, a fruit, when it's on the size of a boser. Am I allowed to cut down an esro if it's the size of a boser? Yes. Why? Because the same thing is here. I'm doing it what? It says in Shulchan Aruch, in Simit Tov Reish Mem Ches Sifkov Beis, and Nechos Arba Minim, that an esro of the size of a boser is permissible, is kosher. So perishvies, it's usher to cut them down because it has to perishvies. But if I'm kotzer to them l'shem mitzvah, if I'm kotzer the fruit of the size of a boser, by coats the shame mitzvah, then it's not considered the hefzin and it's mutter. Follow me? This is the second svar we're saying, Yaakov, that anything that's done conceptually the shame mitzvah is not deemed as hefzin. That's the chiddush we want to say. And therefore, even though normally to cut a fruit down, the size of a boser would be usher on shviz because I'm destroying the pair of shviz, but if I do it the shame mitzvah, it's permissible. Oh. This is the second svara we want to give. This is very difficult, the second svara, that automatically if it's called a shem mitzvah, it's not called a hefzid. Why? Because there is a Gemara in Meseches Bechoros. The Gemara in Bechoros on Daf Yud Beis and Beis says, if you have a behemah, if Chista says, a behemah of Shviz is pater from Bechor. What does that mean? If you have an animal during the Shemitah year, if it has a firstborn animal, that animal is pater from Bechor. That firstborn animal does not go on its back. What does that mean? I thought Shviz was only Peiris. What do you mean an animal? What's the answer, Rashi says? An animal that was bought with Peiris Shviz attains and is imbued with the Kedusha of Shviz. That animal that has Kedusha Shviz, if it has a firstborn, that firstborn is pater from Shviz. That firstborn is pater from Shviz. Why? Because what does it say? It says, La'achalo, the low l'sreifa. You're not allowed to what? Burn perishes. What do you think you do with a korban? You burn it. Therefore, you are pater. Why is this akasha what we just said? Why is this akasha what we just said? I thought we just said anything is l'shem mitzvah is not considered to be a what? A hefzer. It says, Beferish, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah, it's still a what? It's still a hefzer. You hear what I'm saying? Despite the fact that it's a mitzvah, it's still called the Sreifa. It's awesome. That's a very difficult kasha. How do you answer that kasha? So one answer to that kasha is that it says, Lachem v'lo l'gavoa. Shviz doesn't apply to Hekdesh in Yonah. Maybe you can say Shviz doesn't apply to Hekdesh. If Shviz doesn't apply to Hekdesh, then already what? Then you have no rye at all. That's what it means. Why is that difficult to say that Shviz doesn't apply to Hekdesh? If Shviz doesn't apply to Hektish, what comes out? So therefore, you can't tell me you're not allowed to burn it. La'achalol, you're potter from Bechor, because La'achalol is Reifa. The reason why, you don't say Shvi'is doesn't apply to Ekdesh. The mitzvah of Shvi'is cannot override the din of what? Because Shvi'is doesn't apply to Ekdesh. You can't tell me, oh, Shvi'is what? L'achol l'olol l'sreif. Right? What are we proving from here? We prove from here that if you're doing L'shem mitzvah, it shouldn't be considered a hafzik. That's what we ask, right? We're trying to prove, the second svar is, anything due to the Shem Mitzvah cannot be called a hefzer, right? So why does the Gemara say you're putter from a chor? Why are you putter from a chor? It's considered to be burning. It's not burning, it's doing a mitzvah. The answer is, Shvi'is does not apply to Hekdesh. Meaning Shvi'is does not apply to Hekdesh, meaning in the realm of the basic Mikdash, there is no mitzvah Shvi'is. You follow what I'm saying? So then you might ask me, if there's no realm of Shvi'is, so why are you putter from a chor, right? You know what I'm saying? How does the whole din get off the ground then? Why should you be punted from Bechor? If the whole Shvi'is does not apply to Hekdesh, so then, what is the pshat? Why is there a p'tur? So what you have to say is that Shvi'is would create a p'tur, but you don't fulfill a mitzvah. In the realm of the Beis HaMikdash, in Yoni Shvi'is, you cannot fulfill any mitzvahs in the realm of the Beis HaMikdash if you're engaged in what? A mitzvah of Shvi'is. It's not called a mitzvah. It's not called a mitzvah. But for you to be punter from a Bechor, it could create a p'tur. It could create an exception. That's what you got to say. So that's how you maybe could want to answer that kasha. But the difficulty with that, Terence, is there is no drasha of lachem v'lo lekavoa. What do we learn it out from? What do we learn it out from? L'achala v'lo lehefzit. There's no din of lachem v'lo lekavoa. The whole din is l'achala. Eat perishes, don't destroy it. Plus the fact, there's a second teretz that was given. The second teretz is the mitzvah of haktara is on the bialim, and who destroys it? The kohanim. The kohanim are the ones. So the people that are doing the mitzvah, the people that are getting the mitzvah, the bialim, are not the same guys doing the destroying. So the kohanim will be over nisr. That's also a difficult answer. Who cares? As long as it's the shei mitzvah, it shouldn't make a difference, right? Who cares? Who does the mitzvah? Who gets the mitzvah? So the bottom line is, what we want to bring out is that this second svar is very difficult. Don't tell me that automatically something with Torah mitzvah is not called a hefzik. It's not true. So the second svar we just shot down. A third svar now. Let's get it. What's the third svar that we're not worried about Esrog HaShvi'is, that when you touch it, you're destroying it? Third svar. That we also will shoot down. Maybe you could say that an Esrog that was planted for Arba Minim, not for eating, there's no Isser. There's no Isser of hefzik. When is there an Isra of Hefzid, Peter Shvi'is? When it's a classical fruit. When it was grown for fruit, and now you destroy it. When it's grown for fruit, and now you destroy it. That's L'achol L'Hefzid. But this Isra was planted for Arba Minim, maybe there's no din of L'achol L'Hefzid. That's a third possible svar. This is what Rav Zvi Frank wants to say. Why is this wrong? Or I shouldn't say wrong. Why is this difficult that we shot full shuta? Yushalmi in Maseches Orlo writes the following. If I plant a tree for a fence, to be a fence, or I plant a tree, let's say an orange tree for wood, is there orla on that tree? Yes or no? No. It's an first mission in Maseches Orla. If I plant an orange tree for the purposes of setting up a fence, you know, to protect my house, then that orange is not an orla orange. If I plant it for wood, it's not an orla, it's not orla either. Oh. So Yushalmi has a shaila in Maseches Orla, Perek Alf Alchav. If I plant an Esro for the Arba Minim, is it an Isra of an Esro? Is it an Isra of Orla? Interesting child. Yushalmi answers, you better believe it is. Of course it is. It's a pre. It says it's a pre. Yechayv and Orla. It says Beferish, Domer of Chanina, the pre Imata Omer, Eitzo, Enanam Yotzeb Nechavasa Bechag. Of course, if you plant something, l'shem arba minim, what does it say in the Chumash? What does it say in the Chumash and about the arba minim? What does it say? How does the Torah describe Esrog? Excellent. It's excellent. Pre-Eitz Adar. Exactly what you say. What does pre-Eitz Adar mean? A fruit. One of the prerequisites of a kosher Esrog is that you must have the ability to eat it. You need a heter achiu. So if that's one of the prerequisites of an esrog, of course, if you plant an esrog for arba minim, of course it will be chayv in orla. Because in order for it to be kosher for orla, for sukkahs, it has to be a pre. So if it's a pre, so nachamol, it's going to be an isra of orla. You follow me? It's not like you planted it for a fence are planted for wood. You planted it for Arbaminim. And in order for Arbaminim to be kosher, it has to be a shame free. So if it's a shame free, then it'll be a free legabi vis-a-vis Orla, and also it'll be kosher for what? Arbaminim. Yeah, go ahead.
So you can't use an entry that was planted for tents for Arbaminim?
If you plant an esrog?
It's still a pre.
So it would not be a pre in Hilchos Orla. Would it be a pre in Hilchos? Yes, it would, because I could eat it. For Hilchos Arbaminim, I have to have the ability to eat it. But if I'm saying for these purposes, though, that's what I'm saying, regarding planting it in the Shem Arbaminim, would it be Chayav and Orla? Yes, because the reason why it's Chayav and Orla, in order for it to be a Kosher Arbaminim, is it's a Shem Pri. So if it's a Shem Pri, Lamaisa, it's also going to be a Shem Pri regarding what? Regarding Orla. And in your case, I would say, the following. You're bringing up a great point, Zach. I would say no. I would say different what I just said. Because if you plant it for wood or for a fence, but it's still a pre, and you have to be able to eat it. So once you label it as a pre, which you could eat for Arbaminim, then with Zach, it, I would think also to be a pre for the sake of Orla as well. So I would think it would categorically take it out of that whole notion. I think that's goofy what the Yerushalmi is driving at. That halacha, even if you planted l'shem mitzvah, it's still going to be stamped as being an orla. You follow me? Because by definition, if it's kashmar remaining, that stamps a pri on it. Stamps a pri on it, then nachamol, it's not for wood, it's not for fence, it'd be chayav orla. So that, I would think, yes, that's good for the point. Exactly. So we just shot down the third spark. If you planted l'shem mitzvah, Arbaminim, don't tell me there's no din of lacha l'hefzid. One of the prerequisites of a esrog has to be a shame pri. Hetrachim. Yeah, go ahead.
Why is Orla similar to Israel Hefzid? Why
wouldn't it say that? No, but what it does, it's called a shame pri. That's what I'm saying. So Orla, it requires a shame pri. So once it's a shame pri, and esrog also requires a shame pri.
Right, so even if esrog is a shame pri, why can we still just say that it's only for the esrog?
Because that's what I'm saying. The whole horde was planting in l'shem mitzvah. So if you planted l'shem mitzvah, that should get out of the problem of l'chol l'hefzid. So I'm saying, what we're saying is that planting l'shem mitzvah doesn't get out of the shem pri. Once you say it's a shem pri, then it has perishes, and you apply the principle of l'chol l'hefzid. You bring out a great point as well. That's the horde. I should have said that. In other words, when you label something as a shem pri, then it'll fall back in the classical din of l'chol l'hefzid. And that's exactly what you're doing with Arba Vinu. So even though you planted in the shame, it's just not going to help you. That's what we're trying to say. It's very shot, shoot down that smart verse you basically claim. Okay. Fourth smart now. The Nitziv writes, very interesting, in his Sefer Merume Sodan Sukkot Lametesim and Aleph. You know what he says? He says, very interesting. He says, when you use the Esrog, it's Hana'aso Ubi Uroshovim. You're using it at the same time of what? Of the consumption of it. The hana is the usage of it, fulfilling the mitzvah, and it's biuro, it's becoming discolored, you're consuming it. So as long as that's equal, that's not a problem. What is lachlo lohefzit? When you divorce that, when you bifurcate the achila, the consumption from the biur, the hana from the biur, when you bifurcate it, that's hefzit. But if it, How can I eat an orange? Perishvis. It's not hefzid. It's eating. Hanaso ubiuro eshavet. At the same time that I eat it and consume it, I get hana. So the Nitziv says the same thing. When you shake the esrog, it's not a problem. At the same time that you might be destroying the discolor of it, you are what? You are driving hana. What's the hana? The kiyama mitzvah. That's the fourth spark. How do you shoot down that fourth svara? What's the famous principle the Gemara writes in Rosh Hashanah? Mitzvahs? Excellent. Who said that? Michael, very good. Mitzvahs are not given to Hana. Very excellent. Mitzvahs lav lehenes nignim. Rashi says in Rosh Hashanah, Chavkesma, mitzvahs are given to accept the yoke of the kingdom of Hashem. Mitzvahs lav lehenes nignim. They're not called Hana. It's spiritual. Let's say I take a netter not to hear a show, not to derive any hana from someone, Mr. X. I take a netter not to derive any hana from Mr. X. Can Mr. X blow the shofar for me on Rosh Hashanah? Yes or no? Yes. It's hana. No, it's not. It's mitzvahs. Mitzvah v'lalahem is nidu. So how can the Nitziv say that when I'm shaking the lulav, the esrog, it's hana ubiru shofar? Mitzvahs are not mana. So that's how we shoot down the fourth svar. Fifth svar. This is the fifth svar we work with, that we'll work with Mamaisa. And this will solve, this will be the first part of the shir, that solving, touching, handling the esrog of shvi'is is not a problem with discoloring it. Runs as follows. The pashtus is, actually, the fifth svar, okay, the fifth svar, Lamaisa, fifth svar is as follows. Maybe truma, the whole issue is you might come to be mafsid. We don't know if slant dunk you're going to be mafsid. You might come to be mafsid. We don't know for sure. And since by truma and by maisha sheni, there's a mandate to watch it. Mishmeres trumasa is mentioned by truma. By maisha sheni, it says kodesh lashem. There's a special requirement to be careful lest a chash that it might get lost. When it comes to shvi'is, it never says mishmeres. It says lachol lehefsid. That's only a vadai it's going to get lost. If it's a suffek, then when it comes to shvi'is, I'm not worried about it. When it comes to shvi'is, I'm not worried about it. Okay? That's very, very important, Lamaisa. Very, very important. Okay? That's just the chiddush. And the truth of the matter is, I want you to know this. Perish shvi'is are kodesh, but they're not mamish like hektish. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Perakuf Dalet, Simon Ostetvah, very important. It's when it comes to perish shvi'is, there's no iser to be metameit. It's an iser with the tamei lechachila, but it's not like kodesh mamish. It's ksas kedushi yishbem. You have to show it kavod. You have to show it kavod. The Chai Adam writes perish shvi'is. You have to eat netilas sedayim before you eat it. Normally, before you eat perish shvi'is, you're a bal gaiva. The Gemara says in Chulin Kufav Manaf. You're never supposed to wash your hands before you eat regular oranges. It's like you're a bal gaiva. When it comes to perish shvi'is, you should need enough kavod, showing respect for it. You shouldn't eat perish shvi'is in a beis ha'merchatz, in a beis ha'kiseh, because there's ksas kedusha to it. Not mamish like a korban, not hektish mamish, but there's an inyan of kavod to it. Okay? So therefore there's an inyan of ksas kedusha to it, that you should show kavod. So it could very well be, Lamaisa, that it could very well be that since only a ksas kedusha, Lamaisa, we would assume that in fact there is no concern of a chash. And when there is a chash, I'm not worried about it. When it's slam dunk, I'm worried about it. When it's a vada, I have sin, I'm worried about it. If it's a chash, I'm not worried about it. By Truman, my Shashani, we were worried about it. What's the answer? Because Truman, my Shashani, there's a mandate of Shmira. Mishmer is Trumasa. And therefore, even a possibility of Hafsid, I'm worried about it. And therefore, I cannot take an Esrog L'chapchila of Truma or of Maisha Sheni. But even if I did it's kosher. Shvi'is, there's no Isri even L'chapchila because it only was a possibility. So the fifth Svara, we're not going to shoot down. Okay? You got it? That's the fifth Svara. Oh. And then there's a sixth Svara. If you look in the Rambam himself, it's very interesting. The Rambam writes in Perachas HaLachabez Nefes Luluf, I'll read you the Lashon, Esrog Shel Truma Tahoritz in the middle, Shema Shashem Yishlaim, Lo Yitol, Shema Yachshiru L'tuma, Vim Noto Kasher. Who does the Rambam paskin like? Not the issue of Hefzid. What does he paskin like? The issue of what? Hechshir. You might be Machshirit. The whole reason why the Rambam says, Asa to be Noto Esrog Shel Truma, because it's a chshash, you might be Machshirit L'tuma. It's only a chshash, but it's not a badai. Oh. Could very well be, when it comes to shvi'is, there is no what. Even though it's called kodesh, as I said, but it's not kodesh mamish, and therefore we assume, halacha l'maisa, that there's no din that you have to eat it b'kedusha, that it shouldn't become tamei. That's only by truma. You can't be metamei truma. So you're worried about it being machshir l'kabel tum, if it's truma. By shvi'is, there's no such din. There might be a din l'chachila not to eat shvi'is b'tumah. But there is no such din if it's a possibility, Lamaisa. That will not hold any water when it comes to shvi'is. So it could be the Rambam holds the whole reasoning is based on what? Hechsher, not hefsid. And that would answer the kasha of mitzvah lav lehenes nidu. Mitzvah lav lehenes nidu is only an issue if it's what? If it's because of hefsid. Right? It's only because of hefsid. The modern holds mitzvah lav lehenes nidu is not because of what? Hefsid. Mishmush yadayim. What's the reasoning? The reason is because you're going to be machshir l'kabel tumah. And therefore, It makes fits very well the sixth reasoning. Even according to the opinion, says Mitzvah Lehenistin, the reason why you're not allowed to take an esrog of Truma Torah, because you might be machshirit, lekabel tuma. That issue doesn't come up when it comes to shvi'is, because I don't care. It's nishka ferlech if shvi'is becomes tamei. Okay, lechachibi, we don't want it to be like that. But b'di'evit, it's only a ksas kedush anyway. So it doesn't become, we don't say, oh, there's an isser, now your shvi'is is tamei. You shouldn't lechachibi eat it like that, b'tumah. But if it happens, no big deal. Because not kodesh ma'amish, you follow me? So that's the first part of the shir, that we have said that there is no problem of mishmush, of handling it, if it's esrog of shvi'is, you might be mafsid the kedusha. No, you might be. That's exactly the point. Might be is a problem for truma, not for shvi'is. And the second svara we're saying, the sixth one that's stuck, is the whole problem is you might be machshirit the kabel tuma. That's a problem for truma. That's a problem for maaser sheni because there's a mandate of shmira. By shvi'is, there's only ksas kedusha. It's not hektish mamish. Therefore, since only ksas kedusha, there is no mandate to be worried about it might become tummy. Okay, you don't want it to be lechachilu, but if it did, nishkefer. Yes, Eitan.
Who said the fifth svara?
The fifth svara on the Maisa is the Maral Diskin, one of the great gedolim from Yishalayim. Okay? The sixth svara we're saying, b'shem the Rambam, basically. And that's why I want you to get down. Rove Poskim say, there is no problem at all in purchasing an esrog from Eretz Yisrael, and I think you should. There is the Sefer HaShemitah and the Sefer Tzitz HaKodesh that says you should look for an esrog that has no Kedusha Shvi'is because of the chashash of what Nishmash Yadayim, of discoloring it, of Hefzid, but we just shot that down, and Rove Poskim say it's okay. So that's the first part of the shir. No one should say that you can't buy an esrog of Shvi'is because you're being mafsided or you're coming to be machshir. Those are not problems, L'maisa, for Shvi'is. Those are problems for Truma Tahora. Those are problems for Maisha Sheni, but not for what Shvi'is. Okay? All right. Second part now that we have to get to. And that is, there is a Mishnah in Masechet Shvi'is, Beferush Shedin, and the Rambam quotes it. You are not allowed to transport Peiros Shvi'is of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Lartz. It's an explicit Mishnah. The Mishnah can be found in Masechet Shvi'is, Perek Vav, Mishnah Hei. Ein motzin Peiros Shvi'is mi'aretz l'chutz lartz. Why not? Why not? Oh. So the Rash on the Mishnah writes, because you should do beer of Peiros Shvi'is in Eretz Yisrael. What is beer? When the time comes on the charts that the fruits have been consumed in the field, you have to do beer. What is beer according to the Rash? Beer is being mafkarit. Okay? Beer is being mafkarit. Okay? That's the din. Okay? Beer is being mafkarit. That's the pashtus, what the Rash holds, that beer is to be mafkarit. But that has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. If you transport the fruit to Chutz Lartz, then you can't do it in Chutz Lartz. You can't do it in Eretz Yisrael because it's not on Chutz Lartz. Okay? Alright. That's what the Rash writes. Oh. The Rambam argues on this. Okay? The Rambam argues on this. In fact, Reb Moshe writes that there's a sheet of Rebbe in the Gemara Masechim who holds that there's no Isser at all. Okay? Rebbe holds that there's no Isser at all to transport to Paris. And Reb Moshe writes one day in the Rash says there's no Isser at all either. Rav Kook says, L'maisa, we actually hold like that. But that's very difficult because the Maskan of the Rash says there is no such Shita that allows you to transport Paris. Shvi'is l'chutz lartz and the Sefta Pashas Asrasim. So it's very difficult to say. Reb Moshe didn't hold like that Ladini either. But L'maisa, I want you to know there's a Shita in Sochem and Nunbeis, the Tosefta's Perakei Alech Aleph, and it could be that Rebbe held there was no Isser at all. It's a Tosefta. Rebbe held there was no Isser at all. But L'maisa, as I said, the Pashas is that what? Is that it could very well be. You see, the Tosefta's mashma, even according to Rebbe, there is an Isser. The Tosefta's mashma, according to Rebbe, there is an Isser. The Tosefta there. But there could be very well be that if you interpreted Rebbe straight up, then maybe there is no Isser. But as I said, that's a minority shita. We accept the Pashup shot of the Mishnah. There's an Isser to transport Perushvi from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Lartz. Plain and simple. Why? Because the beer has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. And if the Perush are not in Eretz Yisrael, then you won't be able to do beer. It won't be able to do the beer in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's according to the Rash. Rambam has a different approach. Rambam says there's another reason why it is usher to transport perishvis from Eretz Yisrael Chutzlars. You know what the Rambam says? Gram hefsid. The more you transport something, foods, they get destroyed. So that's why there was an issur. And for that matter, the Yushalmi says in Perek Vav Halacha, hey, it's usher to move it from one place in Chutzlars to another place in Chutzlars. It's interesting, Yushalmi. That makes a lot of sense according to the Rambam. Right? The Rambam writes that the whole getter of the issur is what gram hefsid. It's indirect causing hefsid. That's why transporting from one place of Chutzlars to the other should also be usher. The more you move it, the more it's usher. Right? You follow what I'm saying, John? The more you move it, the more it's usher. So even moving from one place of Chutzlars to another should be usher. Doesn't make a difference. What should make a difference? The Rash never quotes that did of Yushalmi. Why not? Because what was the whole reasoning according to the Rash? What did we say the whole reason the Rash was? Because you want to do beer in Eretz Yisrael. So why should there be an issur for moving one place to the other of Chutzlars? You're not in Eretz Yisrael anyways. It's for fowl. You did the issur already. You follow me? So these are two different reasons that come up regarding why it's us. Yeah, go ahead. Yes. That's a good point. That's a good point. That's a very good point. But I mean, that's sometimes it's impossible. You do the best you can. You know, if you live somewhere else. But you're right. Maybe there should be a concern about that. You're absolutely right. But let's say, I don't know, you live in one of the Yad Binyamin, you live in Ramat Beit Shemesh, you have to go to Yerushalayim because you have no choice. But you're right. Stam to move it around, absolutely right, would be a problem. Making a good point. Absolutely. Stam bringing it around for no reason would be a problem with Gram Hefs. Well said. You're absolutely right. Oh. So, this is the second part of the shir now. So how on earth can you have Mochrei Esrogim obviously take their Esrogim out of Eretz Yisrael? Right? Very big problem. How do you solve that problem? Oh. So, the Chazon Ish writes that in a Chanami they shouldn't be taken out to Chutz Lartz. But what do you do? So the Sefer Arba Minim quotes an Amud Shin Chaf Gimel. He quotes a letter from the Chazon Ish that where there's a concern that people will not shake the Arba Minim because they won't have an Esrog, then it's Mutter to be Motzi an Esrog that is a fine Esrog. That's a kosher esrog, it's not murkav, it's not mishumar, and there's no problem. And the tzitzak kodesh at Simin Yudal says letzorch mitzvah, there's no isser at all. You're doing a letzorch mitzvah. So the poshup shot, this isser is an isser derabbanan, poshup shot, of taking, transporting peyer shvis outside of Eretz Yisrael. So isser derabbanan, but makom mitzvah, so there should be no isser. The Maral Diskin gives an eitzah where he says, why don't you let the goy take it out of Eretz Yisrael. Let it be under his auspices, get it to Chutz Lartz, and then have the Yid buy from him. Have the Jewish mocher, the businessman, buy it from the Goy. Let the Goy be motzied, and therefore you haven't done the Isser at all. That's an interesting Eitzah as well. And then Nitziv writes another Eitzah. How do you get rid of the problem of Schora, which is a big problem? I want you to get this is considered to be another problem of Maisa. Once you get this considered to be another problem, okay? What's the other problem? The other problem is, I apologize, the other problem is that, I forgot to turn off the phone before, but what the other problem is as follows, and that is that why don't you say that Lemaisa, why don't you say that this halacha, the problem that we're dealing with also is transportation. Now the problem is, what about schora? What about paying for it, right? You're paying from a Jewish customer. So what's your response to that? My response is, maybe the issur is only on the mocher. Like we said earlier, maybe the issur schora is only on the mocher, right? But it also might be on the lokeach, right? That's number one. Even if it's only on the mocher, what are you doing though? He should be overly favored, right? He can't do a business deal with him unless there's another guy on the other side, right? He can't do a business deal unless there's another guy on the other side, so he should be overly favored. So how do you get rid of that problem? So then Tziv had a suggestion in his Chuvus, in the Meshiv Dover, Chelik Beis, Sof Simon Nun, where he said, you know what? Pay him after Sukkos. Pay him already after you have after Sukkos already, and then you'll pay him after Sukkos. So if they pay him after Sukkos, and after you've eaten it, let's add that in, after you've eaten it, you should eat it as well. And that's what the Netziv writes. Even though it's usher that takes Paris out of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, if you already took them out, he says, after Sukkot, fry it and eat it. B'kedusha Shvi'is. Because the Chazon Ish writes that maybe the whole Isra, let's point that out, the Chazon Ish writes in Ram, the whole Isra of taking Paris Shvi'is out of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz is l'shem sechora, for business. So how do you avoid the whole problem of the business? What do? Shake it, eat it, and then you'll pay him afterwards. That's another etzah to get rid of the sechora. You'll tell me, how is it yours though? You need lachem. I made a kinyan out of it. Granted, I didn't pay the guy, but I made a kinyan out of it. I did hakbah, right? So that's another way that you could get out of it, the mice of the Isra of Schayra. There's another way also that you could get rid of the Isra of Schayra, and that is as follows. There's something called Otsar Bezdin. You ever heard of that? Otsar Bezdin is based on a Tosefta. Okay, let me tell you what Otsar Bezdin is. Very, very interesting. Otsar Bezdin is a phenomenal heter based on a Tosefta. The Ramban al Torah quotes it, and the Rash quotes it as well. The Reis Sirlio doesn't hold it. He holds that the Tosefta, that if the Mark wrote the base, we're talking about the sixth year. Was not talking about the what? Was not talking about the seventh year. But we normally assume, I want you to get this, the Tosefta is Periches, okay? The Tosefta is in Periches of Shvi'is, where everything is Hefker now. We know in Shvi'is all the lands are Hefker. But Bezdin can send out messengers. How can Bezdin send out messengers? They can send out messengers to do work in the fields, collect payers, and they can go ahead and what? Customers can buy it from them for cost. And you pay the workers only the schar of their tercha. Okay? In other words, you're not paying for the fruit straight up. You follow me? You're paying for the Bezdin to be able to pay the employees for doing the work. So it's not going to be, you're going to be paying for a cost. So that's what it's worth $300, you'll be buying it for like $80. Because you just, the Bezdin needs to pay the employees. But you see, this is a tremendous heter. You don't even need a shinui when they're doing the work in the fields. It's an amazing heter, this heter. Okay, it's the Ramban al Torah quotes this as well. Okay, Beferish Adin. Ramban al Torah has this as well. It's amazing halacha. The Rash quotes the Tosefta on Perikes Mishneches. The Tosefta is in Perikes, in the beginning of Perikes in Shvi'is. We learned it this summer, this din of Otsar Bezdin. But let me ask you, what is the longest? Why should it be mutter? Anyone have a svara? Why on earth should this be mutter? You can't even do work in the fields. I mean, we're doing everything. How on earth is this mutter? What would you say? I want to give you the Ramban al Torah that quotes this as well. What is the Ramban al Torah? Ramban al Torah, the beginning of Parshas Behar, on the Pasuk, Lehem Techo L'chaya Shevar Tzchatiyah Kutfuas Lobo, he explains this whole din of Otsar Bezdin. Quotes this Tosefta. What do you think it's based on? The whole issue, you go ahead, Ellie. Well, what's the whole issue of doing work in the fields and Shvi'is? It's Horaz Bailus. It's showing demonstratively that you're the owner. But Bezdin's never claiming that they're the owner. It's all Hefker. They're just trying to get the job done so people have fruit and vegetables to eat. You follow what I'm saying? They don't own it. They're not taking ownership. The whole nature of the Isra of Avodas HaKarka, for many of the Malachas, namely by Kotzer and Betzira, is certainly what Oroz Bailus. So it's Oroz Bailus, if it's being funneled through a vase in this conglomerate, they're not claiming to own the field. You follow what I'm saying? So therefore, they're not going to be engaged in this Isra. So another way, this is what I want you to get, of obviating Isra of Schayra by purchasing your Esrog would be as follows. You buy it from Otsar Bezdin Esrogim. Otsar Bezdin Esrogim, they have to be selling it to you at cost. So what they should do is as follows. They should put all the Esrogim in one in boxes, closed boxes, and they're charging you all the same. And you have no idea whether you're going to get a great one or a bad one. It's the same price for $12, let's say. I'll buy it for $12. But you follow what I'm saying? But it's got to be a cost. Because if they're charging for each and every respective esrog, then that's schara on Perish Meats. But if they're selling it to you at cost, then it's through the conglomerate of Otsar Bezdin, then there's no Isra of Schara. But the only real way to do that, in a sincere way, and a lot of people, I was told in Flappers, they don't like to do that because they want to make sure they're going to go to it. They want to look at the one before they want. They want to look at how you do it. So they look at it. They want to look at it before one, before they buy it. But the bottom line is, if you're buying a Sirogim Pulitzer Basin, you should have a desk, and you should have 50 Sirogim on a box, in different boxes, and it's one price, $25. Why? This guy got a good guy, this guy got a bad one? I'm sorry. That guy will smile, and this guy will be upset about it. What are you going to do? But otherwise, if you buy it straight up, then you're not doing the right thing, because you're hoping this is schur. Oh, so you're telling me this is schurzel in the mocher? Right? Like we said, from who? What did we quote earlier that said it was only on the mocher? Was it the Noda Yehuda? Yeah? And the Machna says no? The Machna says no, it's on the look at it. And even it's only on the mocher, you're really favored. So if you want it, there's two ways that we've suggested to get out of schur. Number one is do what? Actually, there are three ways that we've suggested so far. Number one is, you buy a set of Arvin Minim. Actually, nowadays, no one buys the Arvin with it. You buy three, right? You spend $200, or you spend $100. You know what you must articulate? What must you articulate to the mocher? I am buying the lulav. Assuming the lulav has no kedusha shvi'is, which we'll get to. That's one way to get out of schur. You're giving me esrog for me as a matana. Finished. That's one way to get out of this schur. That's assuming the lulav has no kedusha shvi'is. Number two way is to what? Is to do what? Is to buy it, but not give him money till after you've eaten the thing. So then there's no Isser Schayer anymore after you shook it and you ate it, and then well, there's nothing extant anymore. So there's no Isser Schayer anymore because it's not there anymore, right? Because you ate it already and you haven't paid for it. You follow what I'm saying? Ah, you're telling me how was it yours for Lachem? You did it, Kinyan. You did it, Bohagvah. A third way of getting out of schur is buying a srogim from an otzer basin. So if you buy a srogim from an otzer basin, right, then lamaisa, then it should be what? Then it should be okay. There's no otzer schur. You're paying everything at cost. Shouldn't be a problem. Oh. Now, getting back, so this is all within the second part. Just one more thing I wanted to mention. The great Rosh Yeshiva, the Chevener Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Mordechai Epstein, Zatzal, had an Eitzah. What was his Eitzah? Send that Srogim back. We had mentioned there's an issue to transport Peiris Shvi'is from Eretz Yisrael Chutzlars. How do you have all these mokhrims selling it? They take it out. So he said, send it back afterwards. Isn't that fascinating? Send it back afterwards. Is that okay? The Kaftor Vaferech in Perek Memches Amud Kuv Zayin says it's usher to take Peiris and return them there to Yisrael. Why do you think, and also the Michas Bikurim says that on the Tosefta as well. Why do you think it would be usher? You tell me, what do you think? If you hold, like Yitzi said, according to the Rambam, the more transportation, the worse it is. Gram Hefsit. But Rashi and Sochem, the Beis Midir Maskel Chomachem, is Mashma, that it's Munter for you to return to Eretz Yisrael, and then Iri and Sochem is Mashma that as well. What do they hold? They hold that the reason why it was usher to take it out was because you have to do beer weir in Eretz Yisrael. So if that's the reason, then you should return it to Eretz Yisrael. So you could do beer in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Lamaisa, that would be a reason, Lamaisa, for returning it. So it's not so poshut, Lamaisa, is that a good Eitzah? Not a good Eitzah, it depends whether you learn like the Rambam or the Rash. If you learn like the Rambam, it wouldn't be a good Eitzah. If you learn like the Rash, it certainly would be a good Eitzah, halacha Lamaisa. So exactly what Yitzi pointed out. So that's the way that we could also go ahead and what? That's the way we also could go ahead and obviate the issue of transporting parachutes from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Lartz. Plus the fact, according to Chosnish, maybe issue in the Rambam is if you're doing it with Schorim. Now, if you're a mocher, obviously you're doing it for Schorim, correct? But let's say you're an individual and you took parachutes from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Lartz, that shouldn't be a problem at all, none whatsoever. Okay? That shouldn't be a problem at all, none whatsoever. Okay? You follow me? That shouldn't be a problem at all, none whatsoever. Allah Allah. Okay? And therefore, what I'm saying is that all you're doing, so if you're an individual, you're not doing it. You're not in a business. You went there and saw, you took an Esrog, okay, well, the only Esrog, according to the Chazanish and the Rambam, was doing it what the Shem Skorah. If you're not doing the Shem Skorah, should be okay. That Skorah won't help the mocher. So in this second part, we solve the issue of how you take the pay Rishvi's from Eretz Yisrael Chutz Lartz, and we also solve the issue of Schoira as well. Yeah, Yitzi, go ahead.
You said that the person said that we're worried about is they're going to get ruined or not, therefore, but we say it's so much art, even if, because people like in America won't take it all.
The Chazon Ish, well, the Chazon Ish that we quote in that letter where it's a hospital mitzvah, you have no choice. That's correct. Today you'd have a choice, you're right. Today you'd have a choice. The choice would be to what? Would they get from Egypt to Morocco? Well, we're giving other svaras because we want to advocate to buy it from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, you're absolutely right. That svara came from there, that you could get it from Egypt or Morocco, correct. But we don't want to rely on that, Lamaisa. We want to give other svaras because we want to end up buying it from Eretz Yisrael. That's our goal.
So
the Chazon Ish has that other kula we said for an individual because the issue is to take it out of the same svara. If I'm not doing svara with it, it should be okay. But we gave another etzah that maybe you could be able to return it. Or the other etzah in general we said is that what? Eat it. Eat it afterwards. And if you eat it afterwards, then lamaisa, there shouldn't be a problem. If you already took it out, you could eat it. What? You could do the, you won't be fulfilling beer Eretz Yisrael, but you could eat it because you're not going to be mafsid it. You're not going to be mafsid it. See, that's a way of, what's the whole point of eating it? That's what I said to the guys in shul, make a marmalade, make a jelly out of it, make a cake out of it, and that's a cake. Why not? Why do you want to do that? Because you're not going to be destroying it. That's the problem. That's because you're shviz. So you're eating it. You're filling a mitzvah. I mean, is there a schar? Pay for it afterwards. Or as we said, this is schar. There's no problem. It's under the auspices of Otzer Bezdin. Because Otzer Bezdin, everything is at cost. Almost. You're not paying for it straight up. You're paying for, what are you paying? You're not paying for the esrog. You're paying for the work that they had their workers to chop up the esrog. Okay? The harvest, not chop up the esrog, but chop them off the tree. Yeah, go ahead, Ellen.
Would you have to use shias in a normal way? So how can you eat an esrog if it's not normally eaten?
People eat esrog all the time. Jelly, sure, they make jelly. Gotta put lots of sugar in it, but lamaisa, it's eaten. It is there. It is a derech. It's a good question, but it is a derech. It is. People do eat it. Absolutely. Do you know what esrog was? One, the four shittas in Tanoim, what the Eitz Hadas was? One of the shittas was an esrog, right? What is an esrog? A citrus fruit. Shekhar always points out to us, the last Tysus and Tynus says it doesn't mean an apple. You know how the Christians believe that Chava ate an apple. It's not true. There were no apples in the Mideast at that time. Tapuach in Tanakh means citrus. It means a citrus fruit. It's a new concept of having apples. I mean, it didn't exist. So we don't believe that. No one unfortunately just said meant an apple. It's either, what was it? It's either tehena. It either was a chita. Chita grew on trees at all time. What else? Esrog or gefen. Those are the four shittas. Gemara and Sanhedrin, Ayin, and Beis. Okay. Yes, go ahead, Evan.
You just let it rot. You're not going to have an issue with destroying it because you can get ready for it.
You're right. Could let it rot, but why let it rot? Maybe that is called Gram Hefsin. Maybe that's wrong to do that. Okay, you could always throw out the peels you put in the back like they do in Eretz Yisrael. And the Shvi's garbage can, you remember, right? Okay. Yaakov, you remember, right, from Eretz Yisrael? Who else was in Eretz Yisrael last year learning? I think Josh also. You remember the special Pach? John also, yeah. There's a special Pach, right? Remember, you're supposed to put in the bag, the peels. That's the same thing. So the postulate is that what? It's better to eat it. Better to eat the peels. We should learn how to eat the peels. Chocolate-covered peels, right? Okay. All right. So this is the second part, Lamaisa. So we've solved that. Let's go to the third part now. Okay? Third part of the shiur. And that is the issue of, there's something called shomer. Shomer. What does shomer mean? We learned that you're not allowed to, everything is a big machloikis between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. The fields become hefker. The question is, how do they become hefker? Okay? Are they automatic hefker? Or is it afgata degavra? Okay? Or is it afgata degavra? You follow what I'm saying? It's a big question. They have to be hefker. Does it automatically become hefker, or do you have to actually declare them being hefker? It's a big shot. Machloikis, Beis Yosef and the Mabit. Okay. Whatever the case is, if you have a person that keeps his fields enclosed and guarded, that is usur. That's called shamur. And shamur is a big problem, okay? And the question is, what happens to those payrus? Okay? Of shamur. It's a very big shiloh, okay? Rashi is of the opinion himself, Poshup Shat Rashi, is that the fruit do not become usur in eating. Rashi in his Parish and Chumash, along with the Ramban, his Masber Rashi, that if you did this mistake and guarded your Parish Shviz, the Parish do not become Usr. That's Rashi Shita, and that's what the Ramban holds very strongly, without a doubt. The Rash holds like that. Peres min mishumar are mutar. Okay. The problem is there's a Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam in Sukkah and Achlamet Testament base, and also in Yevamos as well, writes as follows. Okay. He writes that Peres that are Shamur are taka what? Are taka asur v'achila. It's an amazing sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? That's what he writes. And that's what his tremendous, tremendous chiddush is. Rabbeinu Tam has this chiddush, halacha l'maisa. Okay? This is in Sukkah, in Lamed Tesim, and Beis Tosin, Dermaska, Mehmet, Devar, Memurim, and Tosin, Yevamos, Dav, Kufcha, Beis, Mal, Dermaska, Shalan, Zike. And he also says this, Rabbeinu Tam, in the Sefer Yashar, Chelek, Achadashim, Simen, Tesim. An amazing sheet. Okay? It's also the Rabosov of Rashi. Rashi quotes his Rebbe's in Yevamos on Kufchav Bey, saying like this, the Baal HaMor has like this in Sukkah, and the Gon, and the Shnos Elau, Perches Mishnevah. But it is a minority of opinion that Peres that are Meshumah are Asar Bachila. Rashi holds its Mutter. There's a whole discussion what the Ravid holds, Reb Moshe holds, and the Tshuvas. There's a famous Tshuva of Reb Moshe, Chelik Alf Orachayim Simik Kuf Pei Vav. Chelik Aleph Orachem Semekuf Peivav. Reb Moshe holds it. Reb Ivan also holds its mutter. So the bottom line is that most Rishonim argue on the Rabbeinu Tam, hold that Peres and Meshumar Asar Bachim. So what happens? And it happens to be many of the orchards, Esrog orchards in Eretz Israel, are owned by non-observant Jews. And if you don't hold the Hefer Mechira of selling Eretz Israel, you got a problem. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, Peres that are Shamur are Asar V'Achila to everyone. Not just to the owner. And what do we say the prerequisite of what Esrogim is? That you need the ability to what? You have to have the ability to eat it. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Esrog you're purchasing might come from those orchards. If they come from those orchards, that's an Esrog that's Meshumar. It's Asar V'Achila. It's Asar V'Achila. Chapsa Nafkamina Arbaminim. There's no prerequisite to eat it because it's Asar to eat. Oh. So how do you get out of it? So Reb Moshe says, we don't hold it, Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. Fine. I mean, even if you have a Peres that's Shomer, we don't hold it. It's Asar V'Achila. Fine. Okay. But let us suggest two svaras that even according to Rabbeinu Tam, it should be okay. According to Rabbeinu Tam, how did this issur come about? How did this issur come about according to Rabbeinu Tam? How did this issur come about? What do you say? How did this issur come about? Because the Gavra watched his what? His field and didn't master it. This issur achil was not a classical issur achil like ham, like blood. The issur came about from the Gavra. Since the issur came about from the Gavra, or the lack of what the Gavra did, that's not a classical issur achila. So maybe that's not the genre of an issur achila that would create a psul for the Arbaminim, for issur of being royal, heter achila. It's got to be heter achila of a pure issur. Okay? Now, one of the fellows in Shul asked me, well, what about Truma? We start off Truma. Truma was what? Truma's from the person, right? You create Truma from your pet. Truth is, that's only l'chachila. B'di'evit, it is kosher. That's kind of a riot what we're saying. B'di'evit, it is kosher. B'di'evit, it is kosher. I'm talking about a classical issur achila. Okay? Like, let's say, tevel, let's say. A classical issur achila is what considered to be pasul what in Esra. If you look in that Mishnah, a classical issur achila is what creates this psul. I mean, that's what the Mishnah seems to say, Lamaisa. So maybe what we could say is that this type of Isser, Lamaisa, which is a classical Isser Achila, Orla, it's a good example, right? If it's an Orla, it's Puzzle, it's Mamish Puzzle. That's a classical Isser Achila. But an Isser Achila that came about from my guarding and not being Mafker, who says that should Kappa Nafkamin and Arbamin? You follow me? Number two, where does this Isser come from? The Isser comes from Shvis itself. The issue is the fact that I wasn't mafker my parish fees, right? The fact that I wasn't mafker my parish fees, and I didn't burn it according to the Rambam, Therefore, it's a chil of Kedusha Shmiz. That's why I'm not allowed to eat it. Because if I would eat it, it would be a desecration of Kedusha Shmiz. But who says that Isra Achila should happen af kamin and arba minim? In other words, what I'm saying, it's a localized Isra Achila. These are two sforas that the Sefer Otzar Yesodei Shviz presents. Beautiful Sefer offers these two sforas. I thought it was a beautiful sfora. So even if you want to say like Rabbi Natan, then Peirush Shviz that are Shomer Osir Bachila, but this is not the classical Yisrachila that would have an Afgamin and Arbaminim to make it possible. Because Yisrachila is from what the Gavra didn't do. It's not Ham. It's not Orla. Right? And even if and number two, if you didn't do it, the Yisra is because, the reason why you're not allowed to eat it, because it's a chil of Shviz. It's not an issue because of the Yisra Chavsa. It's an issue because of the chil of Shviz. So if the Yisra is a chil of Shviz, maybe that would not happen in Afkamina. What would Chavsa and Afkamina are Arvin meaning to make it possible to know how to chil, because the Yisra Chavsa on it, like Orla. You follow what I'm saying? That's the svar that we want to suggest. So even according to the Beirut Tam, maybe it's not a problem. So, if you put it all together, you can come up with the following svaras regarding this shomer section. Number one, poshut pshat you pass like Rashi in the role of Rishon, like Rabbi Moshe writes in the Chumash. Number two, even if you hold like Rabbi Natan, maybe Rabbi Natan would say that this esrog shomer is good for our meeting because it's not a classical Yisrachilo. Number three, the truth is, the Chazon Ish points this out. What type of the fruit or vegetable? What this is a fruit rather? Which part is usher of this fruit? The stuff that grew before Zman beer and that you didn't get rid of. You were supposed to be master of the stuff, right? You were supposed to, according to the Rashi, you put it on the street, run around and burn it. Whichever opinion is, whichever Shiki hold, when the Zman beer comes, whenever that Zman is on the calendar, you didn't do it. So that growth is what's awesome. From that time on, though, the growth after that point is not awesome. It's mutter. You follow me? It's an automatic Zman of beer. You just didn't do it. You didn't do the action that was required of you. But from that time on, all the growth and vegetation, right? It's a fruit. I don't know if you say vegetation. I think you still say. The growth of that fruit, though, from after that day on, is mutter. So, rabu gidulov al iser. If you keep letting it growing and growing, it's very possible that there'll be more heter growth that will override the minority, that will become the majority, the heter growth, over the minority, the iser growth. And therefore, the whole thing should be mutter, based on bitul merov. So, even the Chazon Ish writes like that. It's very fascinating. You follow what I'm just saying? In other words, the growth after this man of the beer is mutter. The growth from before this man of beer, which you guarded, is usher. So it could very well be the growth after that man will override in amount the isher growth, and therefore the whole thing should be mutter. Now, what the Chazon Ish said, there was a great girl named Rav Kalman Kahanes, that's all. I heard shear from him in Shaul Bin. He was very close to Schlesinger. He was a Talmud Mufak of the Chazon Ish. He was the head of Paul at Agudas Yisrael. He was a great, great goin. He had a PhD. It was great. Mamish goin oilam also. Unbelievable goin. And he held from the Chazon Ish that he held that Esrog HaShomer is for sure okay. That's what he said. Now, there were steers in the Chazon Ish that an Esrog HaShomer is okay for Arba Minim. One place the Chazon Ish writes in Shvi Simen Tes Os Yitzayin and Simen Chafal Os Yitzayin. He contradicts himself. But in a letter in Rav Greinman, he's masber what the how you answer the steer in the Chazon Ish. But this is where Rav Kalman Kahana Zatzal said that the Chazon Ish held that Esrog HaShomer is okay. Plus the fact that the Chazon Ish give this kula that the growth overrides it. And plus the fact, one more svara, that the Shita of Aruch Lanir. The Aruch Lanir in Sukkot Aflamites has a stunning chiddush. According to Rabbeinu Tam, an esrog that's shamur is only usher ba'achila, but it's mutter ba'anah. What is mutter ba'anah? To buy and sell it for profit. Mutter ba'anah, to buy and sell it for profit. Okay? So, he says, that we've been saying the whole shir that what is the prerequisite for esrog? You need a heter achila. No. You need a heter, no. If it's only usher ba'achila, that's no problem. It's got to be Asur Bahana. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, Peres HaShomer are only Asur Bachila, not Bahana. So therefore, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, it would be okay. And the prerequisite by our meaning is Heter Hana, not Heter Achila. That's a tremendous Kiddush. So let's put it all together. Number one, Rosh Hashanah were against Rabbeinu Tam, even though we did say it was the Baal Mor and Agon and Rabbeinu Shirashi, but that's a minority of opinion in Rishonim. Rosh Hashanah say not that way. Number two, even though like Rabbeinu Tam, it's not a classical Yisra Achila, so why not Havan Achimi and Arvaminim? Number three, we have the Svar of the Chazanish, maybe Rabbeinu Gidulov of the Heter growth over the other growth. Plus number four, it's a shadow of the Chazanish said, maybe the Chazanish held it as Winter and Gansen. And number five, the Svar of Lanier, based on what the Shargasari said, the Shargasari and Simon Tzadeh Zayin says, Esrog is us, Asar Bachilu, Mutter Ba'anah, it's Kashul and Mitzvah. Who cares whether it's Asar Bachilu? As long as it's Mutter Ba'anah, it's Kashul and Mitzvah. So you put it all together, even if it would be Shomer, it wouldn't be a problem. See, if you're back from Otsar Beis Din, it's not a problem with Shomer anyway. Because they're the ones that are watching all the fields. Not watching the fields, they're the ones that are cutting all the fields under their auspices, it's okay. The issue would be if you bought a Esrog not from Otsar Beis Din, maybe it's Shomer, no problem. That's where that would not serve. Okay? So that's the third section we have so far this year. Okay? So we've solved that section of a brick coming into Shomer. What about the fourth section? A lulav. Let's move to lulav and hadassim. Okay? What about lulav and hadassim? Oh. So, in that case of the Mishnah, what did the Mishnah say? What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that I buy everything for the lulav and let him give the esrog to me as a matana. What was the case? The case was that the lulav, what does the Gemara say? The esrog was in the seventh year and the lulav was in the sixth year. Esrog goes basar what? Lakita. When you harvest it. Even though esrog is a fruit, all your rakos go after what? Lakita. And esrog is a what? Is a fruit. You shouldn't go basar lakita. You should go basar chanata, blossoming. Why are your rakos different? Because your rakos need a lot of... Why are esrogim different, rather? Because they need a lot of water. They're gano akolamai. Right? They need irrigation. They need rain as well. So esrog has a din of a yerek. You go basar lakita. So the Mishnah said the case was that you harvested the esrog on shviz, so as it didn't shviz. Okay? The Gemara says the lulav was a six-year lulav. Six, you know, like Bob Lavelle, like saying in football or baseball, six-year veteran. The lulav is a six-year man. Okay? Right? Never heard of like a five-year man out of such and such school, right? Right? So the lulav was a six-year man. So the lulav had no kedusha shviz, right? It was a six-year lulav. Oh, what does that imply, though? That if it was a seventh-year lulav, it would be kadosh. That's what the Gemara implies. Oh. So it implies that a lulav could have kedusha shviz. You know, a lulav is from a date tree. Right? Lulav is a date tree. So the Gemara seems to imply that a lulav has kedusha shviz. So it could be that Gemara is according to Reb Meir. Reb Meir holds, if you gather vegetables or any produce l'shem mitzvah, then it has a din of an offal. So it could have kedusha. The Rambam Paskin's not there. Rambam Paskin that a lulav has no kedusha at all. It's like eitzim. You gather produce to shame mitzvah as a din of eitzim. Therefore, there's no kedusha shviz to it at all, none whatsoever. The Rambam held the lulav has no kedusha shviz. So what do we do? Halacha l'maisa. So the Chazanish was Megel, and Al-Diskin was Machmer, though. And Binyamin Zilber also is Machmer. And we find that many times they used to what? So I'll ask you the following question. How could a lulav have kedusha shviz? What do we say one of the prerequisites for food to have kedusha shviz is? That hanason ubiyuro shah. At the same time you consume it, it's the same thing to derive benefit. How can you have that for lulav? Lulav's wood, right? You burn it, right? You know what Rashi says on the Gemara and Sukkah? L'chabei bo's abayis. They used to use lulavim to sweep. Or as I'd say, broom. To broom. My wife always corrects me. I say to her, I'll broom the crumbs from the Shabbos table. She says, there's no word broom to broom. It's to sweep. Well, I say, I'm trying to get out of it. So therefore I say to broom. There's no such word, so I don't have to do it, right? Okay, all right. But what is l'chabi bo sabayis? What is l'chabi bo sabayis? L'chabi bo sabayis, that makes sense. That's hana, and it gets destroyed at the same time. It's hana and biuro at the same time. It gets destroyed as you're sweeping, and I'm getting hana. Ah, if that's the case, I've dug up what lulav that could have kedusha shviz. See, wood has no kedusha shlis, as we said earlier, because the wood, when you consume it, you get the hana afterwards, you get warm from it afterwards. When you eat something, which is perish shlis, when you consume it, you get hana at the same time. And he points out that in the old, this modern kedum, they used to plant lulavim for the sake of making brooms out of them. So therefore, it could come out, it's a big machlekes in Achronim, I think the Tiferes Yisrael, can a lulav have kedusha shlis? The Rambam seems to say, says no, but there are gedolei Achronim that say you could. So it's very possible to say that lulav could have kedusha shlis too as well. Probably not, because most lulavim are not usually grown for the chibud as a bias. But who says they have to be grown with lulav bias? Maybe as long as there's a utility that it could be used for that, what's the difference? No? What's the difference? Who says they have to be grown for that? So there's a big machloikis amongst Achronim, does a lulav have kedusha shlis? So what do you do now? You shake your lulav, it has kedusha, you don't want to destroy it. So either, I guess, you could use it as a broom, right? Or you could put it in your backyard and replant it. But I don't think, if you hold that a lulav has kedusha shlis, it would not be proper to burn it at the time of chametz. Because where are you burning it? Lach lo bo behefsid. So if it's a lulav of shlis from Eretz Yisrael, and you want to be machmir for the postman and say there's kedusha shlis, then the best bet, I guess, would be to replant it or use it as a broom. I mean, I don't know. You're ruining it, me?
It
comes apart. Still can be used as a broom, though. You see, I don't think you're destroying it.
That can solve a problem. You have to bring up the broom case. Because
that what?
When you're using it, you're also consuming it at that point also.
Uh-huh. You mean, and that's why... Uh-huh, that's a good point. That's a good point. The Gemara didn't consider that, though. Rashi didn't consider that. That's a good point. I guess you have to say you're not really destroying it. That's you have to say. It's a good, very good point. I guess you have to say you're not really destroying it. What'd you say? Right, that's also this is Lava Hennessy as well. Good point, John. Very good. Ellie, go ahead. Well, that's what I'm saying. All the shilas is this sukkis, because all the love and the srogim are from last year, Shvi's year. So you have all these shilas. See, last sukkis you had none of the shilas because it was all from 6 year srogim, 6 year love, right? What you could solve if you were around an orchard, you know, when you could solve all the problems, go there and throw and rip one off the chief eighth year already, right? But I'm saying it's all been prepared already through commerce wise from the seventh year in Yom. So I'm saying if you wanted to say take the sheet of the post from the machmer a little bit of shoes, that's what I think you'd have to do. But it's a machloket says. The Rambam says no, but Rabbi Yom and Zilber has it, and the Tzitz HaKadosh has it, Lomaisa, because maybe they're Rashi. Now, someone told me as far that none of them are grown for sweeping, Rav Haber, Shlita, if you called me last night, Rav Haber, it's a Rebbe made Aliyah, and his Rebbe here last year, many years, a good friend of mine, he made Aliyah, and he called me last night and says, I don't think they grow at all for the Kibbutz Bais. But I said to him, what does it make a difference, as long as the utility is possible? But like the issue, real issue is produce that you gather together for the sake of a mitzvah, what is it labeled? Is it labeled like an ochel, or is it labeled like eitzit? It's about like a mer nechum. So the Gemara that applies to lulav has kedusha shlis with lulav rabeir. Ramda argues no. Ramda argues with the chumim that it's considered like eitz and it's no kedusha shlis. So that's the pasuk. Pasuk is lulav has no kedusha shlis. There is a chum in the poskim, and if you wanted to hold of that chumah, that's what you would do. Okay. Oh, let's move now to hadassim. What about hadassim? Would hadassim have any kedusha shlis? So the bottom line is that Dor Sameach says. According to Dor Sameach, rather, it would depend upon how it was planted, okay? It really would depend upon how it was planted, halacha lemaisa. He says if it was planted l'shem reach for aroma, then you would have a serious issue that it would have kedusha shvis. Because the Yushalmi in Perek Zayin halacha aleph says, b'samim mahu sheyehe alem kedusha shvis. Do b'samim have kedusha shvis? And it's the bayad lo hifshita. Okay? So spices. So there's a tzad in Yishami, it might have to be shviz. So if the hadassim were planted l'shem reach, not for l'shem mitzvah, then it could very well be that's to shviz, and you'd have to dispose of them like you said, either regrow them or put them back in the ground or leave them on the ground outside. Not that you shouldn't use them to burn the lulav because that's burning. Now if you planted a l'shem mitzvah, then he points out that maybe l'maisa. That would be what? That would be a heter, and it would have no Kedusha Shvi'is. Because here you don't have the issue of it becoming a pre. Remember we said planting Nesrog? L'shem mitzvah, but it's still a pre, because in order for it to be kosher, it's got to be a pre Arba Minim. You don't have that din by Hadassim that has to be a pre for Arba Minim. You follow me? So you won't have that svar anymore. You know what I'm saying? You don't have Hadassim have to be a pre for Arba Minim, and then Nachamo, so then it'll be, and then it should be treated like a regular pair of Shvi'is. If it's planted L'shem mitzvah, then maybe it's totally out of the rubric of Kedusha Shvi'is, and then it would be okay. So if you wanted to be machmir on that, you'd have to be. In fact, let me just give you the shita. The Tzitz HaKodesh says B'shem the Ma'al Diskin that he was not machmir, and the Chazon Ish was makel for others, but was machmir for himself, as was Reb Shlomo Zalman Tzatzal as well. So the Chazon Ish Tzatzal and the Reb Shlomo Zalman Tzatzal were machmir for themselves. Okay, but as I said, you know, that's only an esrog, which is shem pri, you need a heter achila. Then there's no nif, planting the shem mitzvah is going to be. Mashenke by lulav and adas. If the lulav and adas were planted the shem mitzvah, or the adas were planted the shem mitzvah, then you don't have the shem pri that ever arises. So if you never have the shem pri that ever arises, then there never will be kedusha to it. You follow me? The whole horn of the esrog is because it zaps it back as being a shem pri for it to be kosher for our dominion. Then you got chomol shouldn't have kedusha shvi'is. Then you got a problem with lulav hefzer. But hadassim and lulav are not a pri. So if you plant them l'shem mitzvah, never should what? Never should be a problem. Because why? Never what? It never is. It never was a shame. It never was something that could attain kedusha shvi'is. Your utility is for what? For brooming it or for sweeping. Lamaisa, but that wasn't what it was planted for. My response to that is, who cares why it was planted? As long as the utility is there, like I said to you a few minutes ago, maybe it should be a problem. So, question is, what's the utility of the Reach? What's the utility of the Hadas? The Reach. At the same time that you do aroma, you smell it, it consumes it. That's what you have to say. So what we're presenting is as far as, even if you planted the lulav, l'shem arvamin, or you planted the adasim, who said that you're making it okay? The utility still is there. So okay, we're presenting it as a good svara to say why there's good reason to be machmir. But by aravos, there's no utility at all. So since there's no utility at all to aravos, right, which makes a lot of sense because it's symbolic in the medrash of the guy who has no Torah and has no Gimlus Chasarim. You know the famous medrash that the Arba Minim are represented with four types of Yidin, right? The Esrog is the fellow that has Torah and Gimlus Chasarim, right? The Lulav is the guy that has, what does he have? He has Torah but no Gimlus Chasarim. And the Adasim is the guy that has Gimlus Chasarim and no Torah. The Aravos has neither. So it makes a lot of sense. It has no utility. Someone has no turning, so he has no utility. What is his life, right? Makes sense, I'll be there at Rosh. And therefore, since it has no utility, it can't attain a Kedusha. One of the prerequisites of something that has Kedusha Shvi'is is that it's Hanas and Brun Shoma. Here's not even a utility. There's no Hanas to it. So therefore, there's no Shiloh all that rocks. You definitely could burn. Not a problem. But Esrog, this is so. So I think very strongly, we should buy Esrogim from Eretz Yisrael. There really is no problem. The best bet is probably to get from an Otzer Beis Din one. At cost, the same price. If not, then you're going to have to get out of the issue of schor or lifneiver by eating it, and preferably paying afterwards, but by eating it, lamaisa, that would be okay, if you'd eat it to get out of the issue of schorah. That was the eitz that we basically had to get out of the issue of schorah, no? It's basically to eat it, or to pay afterwards, when it's not extant. But otherwise, I don't know really how to get out of this sort of square. Oh, the other heter was what? Buy everything for the lulav, but that's assuming the lulav has no kedusha shvi'is. And that's the pasuk. The Rambam really says, that's the best bet. So if you're not buying goats or based on this rogan, right, and you're buying a regular esrog, then just say to the guy, I'm spending all the money for the lulav. Okay? And that will get out of this sort of square. That's assuming the lulav has no kedusha shvi'is. All right, we'll stop here. Everyone have a great day. Went very quick. Practically, we don't hold the grab in a time. No. What do you mean? Can you see?